Sunday in Lent called Laetare Sunday. Today we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. After Mass today, we will have a bake sale in the hall sponsored by Servants of the Holy Family. And I peeked in before Mass. It looks good. Those who would like to donate for the Easter lilies for the altar, please sign the paper on the bulletin board if you would like to donate. Any surplus funds given will be used for future needs of the altar. Thursday is the Thursday before the first Friday of the month, and we will have a holy hour followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. Friday is the first Friday of the month, and the Mass will be at 8:30, followed by a conference and the Rosary. On Friday at 7 p.m. will be the Stations of the Cross, followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament and confessions for anyone who would like to go. Saturday is the first Saturday of the month, and the Mass will be at 8:30. The Masses, the saints this week, which are not celebrated because of Lent, but commemorated, are Wednesday, St. Francis Paola, Friday, St. Isidore, and Saturday, St. Vincent Ferrer. This is not on the list of announcements, but in the spirit of the season, which is the time for catechumens and the public penitence. Of course, we all are part of that, at least by spirit. They would be told, and if you've been following your missal, you would know this, they would be told at certain times when to come to the stational church. That was the church in Rome where the Pope was going to say Mass, and everyone would be there for that Mass of the whole church with the Pope celebrating. And they would be told to go to this particular stational church. The catechumens, sometimes the penitents. And one of those stational churches, important ones, is this Wednesday, St. Paul Outside the Walls. They would be told, I don't know when they'd be told, but they would be told, go to St. Paul Outside the Walls, because this is when you're going to be tested. It was called the Great Scrutiny, which is interesting, of course. It was picked because St. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. So these catechumens were coming before the saint who was their apostle to be tested, know their catechism. That's what a catechumen is, studying the catechism. So in that spirit, we're going to give you the look ahead to Holy Week. This is the most important week of the year. If you haven't already been thinking of it, probably you have. Think now so you can schedule. So you don't miss anything. Sunday's easy, that's Palm Sunday, April 13th. That's 3 weeks from today. Thursday of that week is Holy Thursday, that is April 17th. So work extra, do what you can, so you can get permission from your boss to be there at 5 p.m. The next day, Good Friday, April 18th, 3 p.m. Of course, in our pagan society, no one even pays attention to that. You have to ask the boss for a day off. Saturday, Holy Saturday, of course, there's nothing during the morning, but 9:30 p.m., take a nap. And then Easter Sunday, April 20th, and that Mass, I think, is at 10 o'clock. So to repeat, today we have benediction at 6 p.m., the bake sale after the Mass in the hall. This may be the first bake sale in the hall, I'm not sure, but it should be good. If you'd like to donate for the lilies, please sign up on the bulletin board. And then just, we have Holy Hour on Thursday, we have the first Friday Mass, and then we have Saturday, the first Saturday Mass in honor of the Blessed Mother in reparation. Now, I just want to say this. This is a golden opportunity. It's like a sacred triduum in itself. To have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week, the only first Friday in Lent, you can come and be with our Lord on Holy Thursday, just like on Holy Thursday, you can be there like with our Lord this Thursday for the Holy Hour. And we don't have the time to go into this, even though it's always a, well, you can tell if you've heard me in the past, it's always a fond memory for me. I was never part of the Nocturnal Adoration Society, but they were the unsung heroes of the parish. They did not have their annual breakfast, communion breakfast, like the Holy Name Society. They had none of that. There was no fanfare or anything. And I only remember seeing them once, where they came out, they just showed up, and there was a priest that would start them off. He would say the opening prayers. And then they were all assigned that. I don't know what they did. They took care of everything. And then all throughout the night, they would watch every month. Now, we cannot do that. We've tried it in the past, but we have not been able to do that because we're small. I mean, we're talking about a big parish in those days. But cannot we use the words of our Lord to his apostles? Can you not watch 1 hour with me? Now, I'm talking to the men. Again, this is a matter of scheduling and everything else, but really, every man who can come on Sunday, we know some people cannot make it during the week, obviously, for other reasons. But really, it's your time. It's your time. So everyone, all the men, everyone's welcome, obviously. But it should be a personal feeling, like I want to be there for myself, for my family, my community, the world, the church. And of course, the first Saturday for the Blessed Mother to make reparation, we know all about those terrible things learned at Fatima. But also, Station of the Cross. I don't know if this is the last Station of the Cross this year. I think it's the next to the last. But if you have not come yet, here's your chance. If you've already come, why not? Come again. It's following what our Blessed Mother did. And again, I think of now, things were going crazy back then, obviously. But they were still had retained. And you know, I mean, I think back on it now. Of course, it was a Catholic school and, you know, it was in a neighborhood. So you could either walk or take the bus there or the city school, city parish. There was no obligation to a church but on each day. But you know how many of these, you know, I don't know, 700 or 800 kids in the school? Do you know how many of those children used to go to daily mass? It's amazing to me. I don't know, I'd guess about 100 of them. And of course, it'd be only for the upper grades. But you know what happened during Lent? It was only, now I think about it, but anyway. They'd go early, these children would go early for the mass that they would go to, and they would do the stations during Lent. So you'd see all these children, you know, ages 10 to 13, whatever. You know, of course, it's bigger, so you could do it, but they'd be walking. Just walking, doing the stations. They had a little, I don't know if you've ever seen it. I have it on my desk. I didn't bring it with me. But I bring it out to think of it. We had the same one. Little red booklet. You may have seen me hold it up in the past. It says Stations for Children. We have a copy of it. And they'd all have their little stations book. And they'd all be going along doing the stations. But then on Fridays during Lent, there was one priest that, he was the moderator of the Altar Boy Society also, and he led the stations every Friday after school. So at 3 o'clock, the whole school would show up, and you see, you have this whole, you know, and he'd lead the stations with the servers. And he was the one also that, on his own, He didn't leave them out because, as I told you also in the past, he would, we had nocturnal adoration on Friday night to Saturday. I think it was just to make it easier for the men so they didn't have to worry about going to work the next day. But so Friday after school, as soon as school let out, he had assigned altar boys. He started the nocturnal adoration in the afternoon with the altar boys. And each had a half an hour. We had a lot of altar boys, so there were two for every half hour. And it's a good thing. You learn something. You learn something. You're not out playing with everybody getting out of the last day of the week. And then if somebody doesn't show up, you learn that you cannot abandon our Lord exposed on the altar. You learn that. So let's try and make an effort this week. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a slave girl and the other by a free woman. And the son of the slave girl was born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman in virtue of the promise. This is said by way of allegory, for these are the two covenants, one indeed from Mount Sinai, bringing forth children unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which corresponds to the present Jerusalem, and is in slavery with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that does not bear. Break forth and cry, thou that dost not travail. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that has a husband. Now we, brethren, are the children of promise, as Isaac was. But as then he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also is it now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave girl and her son, for the son of the slave girl shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brethren, we are not children of the slave girl, but of the free woman, in virtue of the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. At that time, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias. And there followed him a great crowd, because they witnessed the signs he worked on those who were sick. Jesus, therefore, went up the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When, therefore, Jesus had lifted up his eyes and seen that a very great crowd had come to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? But he said this to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them, that each one may receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a young boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Jesus then said, Make the people recline. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore reclined in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to those reclining, and likewise the fishes, as much as they wished. But when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather the fragments that are left over, lest they be wasted. They therefore gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When the people therefore had seen the sign which Jesus had worked, they said, This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. So when Jesus perceived that they would come to take him by force and make him king, he fled again to the mountain, himself alone. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We have the impossible job of attempting to to explain this beautiful Mass after taking all that time with announcements. So, do we can. We are past the halfway mark in Lent, and Holy Mother the Church wants to rejoice that we have made it thus far and encourage us for the rest of the days we have. And so, all the penance is not stopped for Lent, but we are given a different mood by mixing the violet with white and coming up with this rose color. And so we see it in the vestments, the carpet, everything around the altar, tabernacle. And we also notice, if you can see, between the tabernacle and the flowers on either side, there are two golden, and they are gilded roses. They are gold. And that is all about the history of this day. Because Holy Mother of the Church, and with the opening words of the introit, rejoice, O Jerusalem, and St. Paul tells us in the epistle, we're talking about Holy Mother of the Church as in its glory in heaven. Jerusalem is that symbol, the image of that. So the whole church rejoiced on this day, thinking ahead. We've come through a lot and we've got more to go, but we know where we're heading. The whole church walking together. And so in celebration of this day, all of these, this rose color and the rose itself was brought forth. And there was a ceremony where the Pope, meeting at this stational church, which is called the Holy Cross in Jerusalem, you've heard about it in the past. By the way, it is the stational church for Good Friday, too, because of the relic of the true cross there. They would gather, and the Pope, there was a ceremony before. Can't go into details of how they... These practices still go on, believe it or not. I saw the opening of Lent on Ash Wednesday. They still have the collect church where they meet. Pope shows up. And then they process singing the Litany of the Saints to St. Sabina's, which is a stational church. So same thing here, stational church, Holy Cross in Jerusalem. St. John Lateran is where they collect, the collect church, and then they would march, process down to, I say down because it's up, St. John's up on a plateau and you come down, and you go into the Holy Cross, and the Pope, there would be some member of royalty there who would lead his carriage or his horse, and then the Pope would bless a golden rose that would be put on the altar, and then at the end of the Mass in the recessional, he would give this to that king or prince or whatever. And the custom, I don't know if it goes on today, but I see in the missals that in Pius XI's time, he was still doing that. He was giving the rose, and it was being given to the Queen of Spain and the Queen of Belgium. So there's a lot of history just in the little things we see here. That's all represented by those golden roses right there. What we like to do is to encourage everyone to keep faithful to the penances that you have. And if you haven't been faithful, you still have time to make up. And if you're still looking for something to do, not that we don't have enough already, but I'll tell you this. If you want to be like the catechumens, they're studying during these days. If you want to be like that, you can do some study. And if you want to be like the catechumens, study the way they are. That is the catechism. And the actual days. Every day of Lent has a Mass. So if you're not reading the Mass text every day, even if you cannot come to Mass, you're missing out. You're missing out, if you're a parent, you're missing out on how you're supposed to raise your children in the story of Esau and Jacob. You missed out learning what happens when parents have favorites among their children. You missed out learning about, if you're a child yourself, you missed out about what happens in a family when you're envious of your brothers or sisters. We don't say siblings, like lab rats. You saw it happen with Joseph and his brothers, what happened there. What about Cain and Abel at the beginning of Lent? Where Cain sees his brother's offering being accepted. And God said to him, it says it right there. God said, if you want your sacrifice accepted, then you also do good. Evil is hidden, nipping at you. Those are temptations. Do not give in to those. Do not give in to that sin of jealousy, which led to the first murder in history. Do not give in to that sin, but do good. But he didn't do it, and we get, am I my brother's keeper? Well, yes, we are. Believe it or not, we are our brother's keeper. So children could be learning these things. The penitents are learning about forgiveness. The woman caught in adultery. The prodigal son, God is always receiving back those who have strayed. The church being persecuted throughout all history, it's been persecuted. It's being persecuted today. St. Paul tells us in the epistle, let's get it straight. There's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. He says it right there. There's an Old Testament attached to Sinai, the commandments given by Moses, who is brought before us during these days. And he said, just as the slave girl and her child persecuted the child born of the promise, and that was what happened in the Ishmael, picked on Isaac. And that's why Sarah said to Abraham, you got to banish them. That's the story St. Paul's talking about. And he said, just as that happened then, it's happening today. The older brothers who should be with us are against us. So St. Paul says, don't be surprised. Because everything that happened, I'm just describing it, between the slave girl, her child, and the free woman, it's happening today. He says it right there. That's the Holy Spirit telling us. And we know it's happening today. But at this Mass, it doesn't matter to us. Now when we leave, it will start mattering again. It doesn't matter to us. It doesn't matter to me. Because I hear Holy Mother Church saying, rejoice. It can't say it enough. You just take a look at that intro, right? Rejoice, laetare, gaudete, exultatis, exult. That's three times in the first sentence of the Mass. You exult. Because all persecution cannot hurt. It's only a ticket to heaven. And so for those persecuted, we learn the same thing during Lent, if you've been reading. So that's why we're encouraging you. It's not over. You can still be learning. This week you'll be learning the importance of prayer in church. That's tomorrow. You'll learn the importance, of course, as catechumens are, of water for baptism. The importance of confession. These are all things in just reading the Mass text. If you come to the Mass, even better. The importance of confession to take away any grave sins or any sins. And the rising back to the state of grace, to life. When we see the widows of Nain and Eliseus raising up the woman of Sarepta's dead son. And it's repeated next time for Lazarus and Elias's resurrection of the boy, raising of the boy. Saturday is the great Mass of Tsitsientes, thirsting. We're looking forward to our Lord on the cross. He's saying to us, I thirst. I thirst for you. These are all in the Mass texts, just coming up this week. The others were the things I was reviewing for you. But think of the... Think of the persecution, right at the beginning of Lent, we hear our Lord speaking to us through the prophet Ezekiel and saying, you know these shepherds? I know what these shepherds are like. I know that they're taking the food out of the mouths of the sheep. I know that they're not healing the wounds of my sheep. I know they're not looking for the lost ones. He says it right there, chapter 34 of Ezekiel, one of the readings for Lent. And then he says, I will have nothing to do with them. And I myself will come, and I will shepherd my sheep, and I will lead them to pastures. And so we come to the gospel. And here it is. Our Lord, the people come to him. He has them sit down on the grass. We cannot explain the gospel, this great gospel, the impetus for our bake sale. You can be thinking, whatever you're having over there, you've been thinking, this is our chance to participate in that bread that our Lord was breaking as we break the host and giving to the people the miracle. I will shepherd my sheep myself. I will feed them myself. That is the promise. That is the hope. That is what gives us the courage to go on. And so on this day, when we receive all the sacraments as often as you can, sacrament of penance, sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, and at this Mass, thank our Lord for all of these gifts and ask him to make us faithful that we can finish Lent and finish this life, which will take us to heaven. May God bless you.